brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Oh, that's a fact. You know what? There's a contract dispute between some of these stations and their providers. So when as long as those other shows are off, we're good to go.
Yep, thanks to the SAG-AFTRA strike, the writer's strike, we're the best thing on, baby. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I wrote this script, so therefore I must have crossed the picket line. I feel bad because we actually went to the Writers Guild Theater when we won the Taste Awards this year. So sorry I wrote my own script. So our SIP segments are all about forgot to introduce everybody first. So let's start with the introduction. So we have Made Man Brent.
Thanks. Why are there so many frogs in the basement today?
I like frogs. What do you got against frogs?
Got to kiss a lot of them, I guess.
That's how you get around, man. And Made Man Maury.
Pleasure to be here in the damp basement again today, Bob. Thank you.
And good old boy Harm.
Thanks, Bob. I was thinking, we have a lot of banjo in the intro. It made me remember a Steve Martin joke. He was talking about comparing the banjo to a guitar. The difference is guitar players, you know, get to have sex. We have too much banjo.
You should be used to banjo. I mean, you have to go visit your in-laws in Alabama. I mean, I'm sure you hear a lot of banjo.
And that's when I run.
Yeah, exactly.
Paddle faster, I hear banjo.
Hey, boy, you got a pretty mouth. Yeah, okay. Well, our six segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can sip. And here's the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. From Old Ezra, we have the Old Ezra Rye 7-Year-Old Straight Rye Whiskey. From Bardstown Bourbon Company, we have their Origin Series Bourbon, the Origin Series Weeded Bottled and Bond Bourbon, and the Origin Series Kentucky Straight Rye. And from Uncle Nearest, we have the Uncle Nearest Straight Rye, the Uncut Unfiltered Rye, the Single Barrel Whiskey Barrel Number 8, and the Single Barrel Rye Barrel Number 1. So we're going to go to Brent and have him tell us about our sips ratings.
Thanks, Bob. We'll be tasting and discussing these whiskeys and rating them with these sips ratings plus our signature sounds. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Ganga Din, water. Ganga Din, drink water. Drink water.
I'm not saying he's not doing a good job, but I do miss Justin.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Could you do a really bad accent? I'm missing Justin.
You're missing Justin?
Yeah.
Three sips. Interesting. What was that in his glass?
There's the drunken leprechaun.
What was that?
There's the drunken leprechaun I've been looking for.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Remember that time the Keebler elves made rum cookies? Yeah.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Kiss my lucky charms.
Yeah. Okay. Gosh. Well, let's go talk about our next whiskey.
Pitter patter, let's get at her.
Okay, Wayne, settle down.
Our first whiskey.
Let's talk about our first whiskey. So, Brent, tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. So, this first whiskey is Old Ezra 7-Year-Old Straight Rye Whiskey. It's 57% ABV, 114 proof, 7 years old. Old Ezra 7-Year Straight Rye Whiskey is a blend of two rye mash bills, 51% rye whiskey and 95% rye whiskey. Is aged a full 7 years and is bottled at full proof, 114 proof, 57% ABV, to deliver a full, complex flavor.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, this has got that nice copper penny color to it. The the nose on this, I love this nose. It's like orange and honey and a little bit of vanilla on it, on the palate. The first thing I picked up on the palate was actually tobacco. And then it just follows off with the baking spice and the vanilla and the honey. It's just a beautiful creamy mouthfeel, which when you think of rye, you don't always think of a creamy mouthfeel. And then you got this nice, beautiful finish to it. It just lingers and lingers and lingers. I was pleasantly and love this expression. What about you, Maury?
You know, Brent, as much as I hate to admit it, I think you were spot on. I thought your description was right on. It was definitely a beautiful mouthfeel. I love the creaminess. I thought it hit all the boxes. It was really a beautiful whiskey. I was really pleasantly surprised. I think it punches way above its weight. I think for the price, it's an outstanding whiskey. It's got plenty of flavor. It's got plenty of proof behind it. 7 years, it's done. It's not immature. It's really an expression that I was very much surprised. Hadn't tried it before, but I think if you see it on the shelf, it's worth having at home on your bar.
Oh, for sure. Herm?
Thanks, Brent. I'm coming back to this whiskey. I'm thinking about it more. When I first tasted it, when we first poured it, I mean, the nose was just amazing. It was the first thing I poured today. I said, oh, that just smells great. I thought, this is going to be a good show. So, and it comes, and it's been sitting in the glass. It's just been getting better. It's been nicer.
It's softened. It's rounded. It's smoothed out.
And what I've had the old Ezra 7-year-old bourbon before. Yeah. This is my first time I've had the rye. It's a new expression from them, I guess.
Yeah.
And you said you got the tobacco on the palate right away.
Yeah.
That came in later for me. For me, it was like toasty oak. But you said orange, right?
Yes.
I'm getting like orange, like flowers and orange blossom and then like candy and vanilla custard. But I smelled that sweet tobacco too. You smell on the nose?
Initially, I didn't smell it. But now when you're going, after you've tasted it, after you've tasted it and you go back to it, then you can get a little bit of it.
Yeah. Man, this is, I really dig what they did here because it's not that 95.5 rye that everybody's familiar with that's over the top with the orange peel or sometimes dill. They've got that 51 and that 91st. They don't tell us the percentages that they blended them in, but doing this blend, I think they did a great job.
They did a great job. Mm. They really did.
Bob? Well, it's like everything that they have done so far, like the old Ezra 7. A couple years ago when that first came out, and we were all blown away. I mean, this cost how much a bottle?
Well, after that show, it doubled.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the wholesale price stayed the same, but what you paid at the store. Yeah.
So we're going to tell people this one is really bad.
And
don't look for this one on the show.
Don't look for this one on the show.
Leave it there.
The folks at Lux Row have always, we were discussing before, they've always pitched above their weight. They've always given you a better bottle of whiskey for the dollar than a lot of folks do. I mean, they routinely do that old Ezra bourbon was fantastic, and for the money you could not beat it. So when I saw this, that was my first thought, is I hope it lives up to the bourbon, and it absolutely does. I mean, on the nose, it's just orange cream. I get in the very tip of the nose just a little bit of a dusty wood note to it, and on the palate
there's that warm honey with that wood too.
Yeah, it's honey and vanilla. It's got a great mouth coat to it. It really covers the whole palate. I get that sweet pipe tobacco on the back end, on the finish on it. I mean, just a really well-blended, well-put-together whiskey. And, you know,
I wish the finish were longer. I think that's the only thing knock I have against it.
It's long. I mean,
it's you know, to get a longer finish, you're going to pay $200 or more.
Yeah, you're right.
For what this is probably selling for at MSRP, this is a long finish. I mean, it's
over. You know, yeah, it's a longer finish than most. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's again another. So far, everything they've done under all the old Ezra 7s have been an absolute knockout. So, you know, congratulations to them. Really well put together whiskey. And we're going to be rating the old Ezra 7-year-old straight rye whiskey a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Hey, guys, if you do another release, send a full-size bottle. So,
yeah, this You might get an extra a sip if you send us a big bottle. It's not the way we work.
Yeah. Yeah, if you send a case, you know, you might get eight. I don't know. So that takes us on to our next whiskey. So we're going to have Harm tell us a little bit about that one.
Thanks, Bob. So our next whiskey is the Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Series Bourbon, 48% ABV. And since its founding, Bardstown Bourbon Company has grown to be a major player in the bourbon industry. While carefully waiting for their own distillate to reach maturity, they have become the go-to custom distiller for many known non-distiller producer brands. After 6 long years, the wait is finally over as they released the Origin Series, consisting of 3 different 6-year-old whiskeys, the Origin Kentucky Straight Bourbon, the Origin Bottled and Bond, and Origin Kentucky Straight Rye. The full series, all of which has been distilled, aged, and bottled at Bardstown Bourbon Company. So this is 100% theirs from grain to glass. Well, I guess they don't grow the grain. They buy the grain. But, you know, it's distilled in there, and they're bottling. It will be distributed to 24 states and the distillery gift shop and a number of online retailers as well. The Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Series Bourbon, 48% ABV, 96 proof, 6-year-old mash bill is 60% corn, 36% rye, and 4% malted barley. Color is a beautiful copper penny. And on the nose, what hit me first was caramel, and then I got like the orange blossom, and there's some stone fruit, a little bit like, I mean, I'm not sure it's peach or apricot. And then underneath, you see the oak starts coming out. And it's really rich. On the palate, caramel, vanilla, cinnamon. And it's got a nice medium-long finish with a little bit of herbal and stone fruit quality going on. Brent?
Yeah, this is... the nose gave it more promise than the palate. Yeah.
Let me agree with you, Brian.
I really enjoyed the nose to this, you know, and we'll get back to this and talk about this after the break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we are discussing some whiskeys from Bardstown Bourbon Company. Brent was telling us his thoughts on the first one here.
Yeah, I was getting onto the palate. So when right off the bat, on the fruits don't come through very much when you on the palate right away, you know. And so I get like a floral, light clove note. I get some bitterness to it and stuff. And it's very front forward on the palate. It doesn't give you that mouth coating that, you know, you like to have in a nice bourbon and stuff. It doesn't give you that whole mouth coating. I was just a little bit of bitterness for me, you know.
You sure that's not a defect in your soul?
It probably is.
Yeah,
I definitely have a bitterness in my soul.
It doesn't have that mouth coating palate like you're talking about. It's a little bit, well, not watery, I would say, but it's a little bit lighter on the palate. Not doesn't give you that like nice heavy hug.
It tastes kind of younger than a 6-year old.
Well, maybe let's try this at 7. Let's see. I think they're going the right place. You know, because you know, oftentimes I find that happens more in wine than it does in whiskeys, but the nose promises everything, and then you taste it; it doesn't stand up.
Right.
It's been a while since that's happened to me, and when we were doing the radio show, doing in the whiskeys here, and this one is one of those. The nose promises the world, but the whiskey just doesn't quite show up for the rest of it.
I think that's a nice way to describe it, Harm.
But yeah. It maybe if we had more air, I didn't put any water in it.
I don't know. We've had it out for quite some time. Yeah. I would say that it's a lovely whiskey. It's, to me, I would describe it in two words, light and sweet. I found it a little bit of a lighter style. It was definitely not mouth coating. It was definitely not that viscous, creamy mouthfeel that we're used to. And I thought it was just not as complex as I would have liked. It was,
but the nose is so complex. So yeah. I think that tells me this is going to be a better whiskey. Just yeah. get maybe another year.
I think another year, two yeah. years is going to really
well. Here's, really improve. Here's the thing, and hats off to them for doing it. How many people set up a distillery and start pushing stuff out at 18 months and 2 years, two and a quarter
exactly.
years, two and a half
That's
years,
exactly
two and three quarter years?
Or they make you buy their vodka or their gin?
Yeah. So they've been, you know, they had enough sense to sit on it until they had a respectable product to put out. And, you know, this is a well-made six-year-old product. I mean, is it going to improve? I think it's actually going to get better. They give it, you know, wait till seven or eight. But
I agree with you there. But that's the thing. It's so promising on the nose. It's only going to get better. It has yeah. to be.
It has to get better. Yeah.
It's not like this is more on wine than whiskey.
More on wine.
Yeah, it happens a lot yeah, more on wine.
You'll stick your nose in that glass and you'll go, oh my God, this is going to be, and you'll sip it and you'll go,
oh. Water. what happened? Yeah.
That's not the case here. It's not like you go, you know?
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't want people yeah. to get that idea. No. That's an extreme example. It just didn't quite match up to what the nose was.
It's like strawberries. They smell better than they taste. They taste good. But they always smell better than they taste.
You're really broken.
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
You are just wrong.
Well, of course, you put them in a blender with ice and some rum.
You know what? Yeah. yeah. A little bit of sugar.
A little bit of sugar. A little sweet and sour mix. And, there you go. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that got me through 4 years of Catholic high school. So had a nun teach me that cocktail. On the nose, yeah, I definitely get the apricot on it. I get a heavy caramel. I definitely get the underblayment of the oak, and in their notes they have mint, and I swear, I don't know if it's a power suggestion, I do pick up just that slight bit of coolness of the mint on the very tip of the nose.
I do not smell it, and I disagree with that completely, but on the finish, on the very end of the finish, I pick up a little of that mint. I mentioned earlier.
I mean, I got most of the fruits from the palate on the finish. Mm-hmm. Is where I got most of the fruits after, you know, that followed through on the nose.
I agree. Yeah, I thought the palate was sort of muted and, not very complex.
Did anybody put water in it?
Provided some.
I don't know. You guys are bogarting all the water down there, so. Slide some water down here and let's give it a try.
I'm going to pour a little bit more first. This is the green label. Was the first one?
I don't think it was green.
No, I think it's the green
white
color.
Label.
Yeah.
The white
creamy.
Label. There it is. Oops.
Mind the microphone.
Hey, I've got priorities. I need to pour some more whiskey. We'll worry about the microphone later. Let's see. Still that beautiful nose. A little bit of cold water.
It softens it up a little bit.
Yeah. The water definitely does open it up a bit.
Yeah.
I get more fruit on the nose with the water too.
Yeah. Yeah, the nose definitely even opens up more.
And the mouthfeel.
Yeah, the mouthfeel comes out
The mouthfeel's better with the water. Yeah. Taste it. Do it. Here's the water. I just did. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think this one's just a little bit closed up, but again.
Give another year or two.
What I always say is, you know, a lot of people, and I understand when you're starting out, sometimes you do have to push stuff out before you're ready. And there's a lot of distilleries out there who we love, who we had stuff when they first started that was like, but now they're making great stuff. And I understand, you know, it's not like opening a brewery. You open a brewery and on a Monday and by Friday, you have product, you're selling it. You know, I mean, it's a lot of money and a lot of operational cost to get to the point where you have whiskey to sell. So I understand why some push it out earlier, but if you're
the fact that these guys didn't, is amazing.
If you're well financed and you think it out and you've got the backing, you can hold off for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and you know, and they've done it just like Wilderness Trail did it, mm-hmm. and didn't come out with a subpar product, came out with a
Woodinville and Washington did Woodinville, the same thing.
You know, came out with
to start with money. They had partners with money.
That's it. You got to have money. Yeah. It's like anything else. If money helped, money can cure almost anything. Yeah. So
you went through the construction and you paid all your employees during the time.
Yeah. Money and time. Yeah. Money and time is all you need.
But, you know, overall, you know, a solid effort. So we're going to be rating the Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Series Bourbon. Well-deserved three sips.
I think it should be higher.
I honestly, with water, I'm leaning higher myself, but that's what we put down. So let's go on to our next one. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey we're going to discuss is the Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Series Wheated Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It comes in at 50% ABV or exactly 100 proof. It is 68% corn, 20% wheat, and 12% malted barley.
That's a high barley content.
Yeah, it really is. So this whiskey, like the last, again, has a nice burnished copper color to it.
Add some water. The barley comes out.
On the nose, there's definitely some serious baked peaches and cream. There's hints of cocoa and lemon on the palate. Very similar to the other one. You get a lot of stone fruit and toffee. And then it finishes kind of medium. Again, like the first whiskey, I found this one to be a little bit light, a little bit sweet, well made, but not as complex as what I'm used to. I think that this whiskey, again, is going to continue to evolve, and I would love to see this whiskey in another year or so, but I think it was well made, and it's going the right direction. Harm?
I think it's gotten better with air. When I first smelled it, I was not impressed. I could hardly smell anything when I first poured it. And now the baked peach and cream you're talking about just explodes out of the glass. I got earlier when we first poured it, all I got was the lemon and a little bit of cocoa, but now that's coming at the end.
Yeah, out of the bottle, it was very muted.
But, you know, I think that's the case for a lot of wheaters. Wheat whiskeys to me are they need more aging.
Yeah.
They are they tend to be softer. So I expect that from wheaters. I'm not a huge wheater fan, but, you know, a lot of people are.
Wheaters generally need another year or two.
And if you like this soft style, this is right up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I prefer scotch and I prefer rye, but wheaters are just too light for me usually. But as this evolved in the glass, it's getting better. Hey, I married a wheater.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama doesn't wear shoes. Yeah. White girl, man.
So this
one, you guys are dumber than a box of hair.
Yeah, this one, what it really reminds me of is a peach cobbler with some fresh whipping cream on it. And it's just a very soft and elegant, little bit of peachy, just, it was nice. Nice little warming finish to the end. I enjoyed it.
It keeps getting better.
Yeah. There's nothing harsh about it. It's nice and light and creamy and...
I found it to be a little light. I found it, I would call it a little bit entry level.
Too light for you, really?
It was too light. Yeah, it was just like...
It's very soft. I mean, I do agree with that. It's got that softness to it.
A little feminine, little...
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with feminine, man.
Nothing wrong with
feminine. Maury's trying out his feminine side right now.
Bring me some more feminine, baby. Mm-hmm. The soft fuzzy sweater.
Yeah. I'm with Harm. I think the nose has significantly improved since when we owned it. When we opened it, that's all I got was lemon.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting that creamy peach. I'm getting I don't know if I'd say it's cocoa or.
It's a little bit of baking spice in there.
There's a little baking spice, but it's kind of like a mocha baking spice kind of mix. I added water to mine, and that definitely opened up the nose.
It's missing a little bit of that brioche taste or smell that would actually make it like a peach cobbler, you know, more of that pastry.
But with a little bit of water, the fruits come out. I'm getting pear. I'm getting a little bit of peach.
Pear?
Yeah.
There is something wrong with you.
And I get that toffee on the finish, and it's got a nice finish. It definitely stays with you. At least a medium long finish. It coats the mouth very, very well.
Slightly salty,
Yes.
Get the top of your mouth covered.
Yeah, exactly.
Slightly salty, creamy. That's really interesting and nice. I like it.
A slight bit of salinity.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. I think they're, you know, they're onto it. They know what they're doing over there. And I think this one's a winner. So we're going to be rating the Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Series Weeded Bottled in Bond. Well-deserved. Three sips.
Interesting.
Bob, why don't you tell us about the next one?
All right. Let me pull that one out here. So the next one we're going to talk about is the Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Series Kentucky Straight Rye. It's 48% ABV, 96 proof. The mash bill is a 95.5, 95 rye, 5% malted barley. This is finished in custom barrels comprised of alternating toasted oak and toasted cherry wood staves. So, interesting. Which completely explains that nose, which is like absolutely just bursting with ripe cherry.
I thought it was because I ate cherries for breakfast this morning and it really...
It's kind of like... ripe cherries, but at the very tip of the nose, it's that.
But it's not candy cherries. These are like
These are like the dark red cherries.
Like real cherry, not like. Yeah. It's not like cherry cough drops or cherry lifesavers.
It's not Luxardo's. This is like real cherries.
It's not like fresh Jolly Ranchers. Get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with a cherry candy. I love them. But
this has got the stem and the pit with it.
Exactly. This is like real cherry.
Yeah. But to me, the cherry didn't stand out as much as the toasted oak.
Yeah, they're sort of fighting for the top level there. But I definitely get that on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
I get that little bit of dilliness in the very tip of the nose, like
it's not
on the
a
exhale.
Little bit, man. It comes. It grows. It's floral, and I get a bunch of green coming out.
But that cherry is just it just leaps out of the glass, which is really kind of cool. On the palate, I'm getting toffee. I'm getting a little bit of mocha on it. A little bit of baking spice. Dark, almost burnt caramel. Yeah, nice. Very nice. Gives you a nice mouth coat. Covers the whole palate. I think the Weeder actually had a little bit longer finish, but I added water to that. I haven't added water to this, so... let's put a little squirt in there. And what'd you think, Brett?
This is, so that palate, I mean, the nose on this one, again, is over-promising for the palate to me. I mean,
I'm expecting cherry Jolly Rancher when I drink.
Right. Yeah.
I would not complain.
I got some bitterness from the tannins from this, tobacco and toffee.
A lot of baking spice.
A lot of baking spice, but the tannins kind of overpowered it a little bit for me.
Do you think that's the cherry wood too?
It might have been the cherry wood. I did add some water. Okay. I did add some water to it, but that could be the cherry wood those staves that they put in there.
Actually, I get more of the tannin with the water than I did without.
I agree.
Now that I've added the water, I'm getting more of the dry wood note.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'd say leave this one alone. Don't add water.
Right.
But I don't know anybody... I don't remember if we've done anything where they've done alternating staves where they've used cherry wood staves. I've had some cherry
French
wood...
French and American staves.
I've had some cherry wood finish, where they either put chips or staves inside the barrel, but I haven't had it where they've alternated it before. So this is kind of interesting.
Yeah. For me, I probably would have just stuck with the toasted one, but I think you're trying...
When they say there's toasted staves, are they toasting and charring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
this could have benefited from more char.
Well, they don't have to char, but they're definitely toasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this could benefit from more char.
I mean, when you're making a whiskey barrel here in the U.S., they're all just straight up charred, but some of them are given a toast before the char for a long period of time to get deep into the wood.
The wine barrels, they'll do a toast without the char.
Yeah.
But so I'm saying with this, I think this could use some more.
The red layer goes a lot deeper.
Yeah. I think this could have benefited from more char. No?
I don't know. I mean, it already came from a charred barrel, and now you're just finishing it off with the...
The only thing I would have done different is the toasted. And I think this is very interesting with the cherry wood. I mean, since it's their first release of the Origins, I might have just left it at just all toasted. I would have, maybe the next release, I would have done like a side special release with the cherry wood. I'm not saying I don't like it. I kind of dig it. But I would have just went, you know, straight down the middle of the road with it.
There's a lot of dill here too, and I know a lot of people love that dill rye. I think this is totally up your alley. To me, I prefer more orange and floral notes. That's the Canadian style more than this.
Well, you got to drop the rye content down.
This one kind of,
once you hit 95, then you're getting that dill whether you like it or not. Yeah. I mean, you get it in, you know, that's sort of the MGP, you know, moniker, like the Beam Peanuts. You know, everybody has their thing, but anybody that makes a 95.5 rye, you get the dill. I mean, it's just inherent in the mash bill. I think if they drop the rye content down, that might take it down and get more of the orange. And if you had the orange and the cherry, that would be cool.
That's where I want it to be.
Yeah, if you could get the orange amped up along with the cherry, this thing would be like a mouthful of candy.
But as it is, like I think this is another one where the nose promised one thing and the palate didn't quite deliver, but it's going the right direction. They're doing the right things.
Agreed, 100%.
What did you think, Maury?
No, exactly. I mean, I agree with you guys. I think the nose was fantastic. I love the cherry. I loved all the promise on the nose. I just felt that the palate was a little bit light and a little bit disappointing compared to, say, the nose. You know, a beautiful made whiskey, perhaps more time.
I
don't even have
that problem with it. I think it's just too green for me, and that's too much dill. That's too much. That's my personal taste.
I'm just wondering if they knocked the rye content down a little and brought that orange out, and then they did not every other stave, but every third stave with the cherry.
Oh, look at you getting all technical, every third stave with cherry.
Because then you'd get the cherry, you'd get
you
the
can't
orange.
Change too many variables just at saying. Once, man. You want to see what's happening. Change just one saying. Variable at a time.
It'd be like going to Willy Wonka's and you know, eating candy all day. So, you know.
Okay, Bob.
I'm just throwing that out there. You guys, you know, you guys are the ones that are complaining. I want to tell you, I'm the chill one here.
No, I really enjoy what Bardstown is doing, dude. I really do.
The dude to Bynes.
Exactly.
We've been a couple times, and Bob and I have been a couple. At least I've been a couple times with Bob. I don't know how many times Bob's probably been there. Bob probably lives there. How many times have you been there, Bob?
More than I can count.
Yeah, there you go. I've been there a couple times with Bob, and I think it's a fantastic facility, and they're very upfront with what they're doing, and they'll tell you whose whiskey they're making that day. It's great.
And the restaurant is solid.
It's a great.
It's one of the best restaurants in town.
If you're gonna go visit Bardstown,
If you don't go to Bardstown Bourbon Company, you've made a grievous error. So,
and I think they're doing good stuff, and I'm very happy with this Origin series.
Yep. Yeah,
first time I'm tasting it.
Exactly, it's their first release, and I think they're doing very well. So we're going to be rating the Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Kentucky Straight Rye. 3 sips.
Interesting.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows. Or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the new Origin Series whiskeys from Bardstown Bourbon Company. Very, very interesting stuff. I think they're well on the way to making some really quality whiskey. So we're going to go to our next one, and we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thank you again, Bob. The Uncle Nearest Straight Rye Whiskey is 50% ABV, 100 proof. This is a straight rye whiskey that originates in Canada. According to the exact American specifications, required to be straight rye whiskey. And then aged in New York for a minimum of 4 years before moving down to Tennessee, where it is rested in Uncle Nearest barrels for an additional maturation. The liquid is tasted and barrel by barrel and blended by master blender and great granddaughter of Nearest Green, Victoria L. Edie Butler. So we didn't talk about the story of Uncle Nearest. We've done it in other episodes.
Oh, you can go about. Yeah.
I mean, Bob, you know more about than me, but well, Nears was the guy who apparently, and according to the stories, is the guy who taught Jack Daniel how to distill.
Well, Jack Daniels was a young kid and was not happy with his stepmother, so he ran away from home at, I was 12 or 14 or something like that, and ended up moving in with Reverend Dan Call, who, in addition to being reverend, also had a distillery and made booze. And the man that ran that distillery was, at the time, was an enslaved man named Nearest Green. And Uncle Nearest was the gentleman who taught Jack Daniels how to make whiskey when he was a kid. Then the war happened, the slaves were freed and all that. And then eventually Nearest ended up going to work with Jack. There is a picture that circulates, if you go there, that shows Jack Daniels standing next to a guy that originally they would say, they used to say, that's Uncle Nearest, but it's, they've now come back and said, no, we're pretty sure it's not him. We think it's his son, but they, because they look so much alike, because they were, you know, father and son. But he's the man who basically ran the distillery when Jack Daniels was a kid and didn't know how to make whiskey. So, you know, that's the story in a nutshell.
So they've resurrected the name, and now they're purchasing whiskey and bottling it under the name. So this is the, again, the straight rye. The color is a bright gold copper. The nose, this is a weird one. This is a very herbal nose. I don't expect this from Canadian rye a lot. I don't know what's going on here. I get sweet pipe tobacco and tomato leaf. It's all tomato leaf for me. It's kind of weird. Very green. And there's something else going on, a little bit of spice underneath, but not much. On the palate, the entry is a little tannic, a little bitter with a lot of baking spice. And it fades into like a chocolatey note. Finishes medium, but then it goes sweet again. It gets like, it's a medium long finish. Goes bitter and then gets sweet, like honeyed, and then goes away. It's just all over the place. I have no idea what to think. Maury, what do you say?
No, I agree with you, Harm. I thought that the nose was okay, but what I was really getting was a monotone on the palate. For me, it was green. It was vegetal. It was young. It was immature. It needs time. Really needs time. Brent, you know anything you want to add?
I actually liked the nose on this. It was soft. It was like a soft vanilla honey nose to me.
Where?
I mean, to me, it was where.
Yeah, I don't see. I didn't get the tomato leaf thing.
I didn't get it either on the nose.
Went right over me.
I'm really. I can smell the green tomato leaf here, and I'll give you the honey underneath. There's the honey. Yeah. But I'm not getting vanilla.
But this one here, you really need to add an ice cube or some water to this to kind of take out some of those tannins and the bitterness to it
on
the palate.
Yeah,
I'll try. I mean, it softens it up a little bit because I think the tannins kind of overwhelm it a little bit on your palate. But that's what I get from when I'm on my palate and on my finish. I don't know. I don't know if I, just not for me. Bob?
Again, I didn't get that vegetal note.
How do you not? Oh, my God. It must be genetic.
Oh, really?
That's the thing. Overpowering.
And that's why, you know, when you see a show where it's like one guy doing a review, you know, it's like, well, that only works if it's,
your palate
if you line
matches.
Up with him.
Yeah.
Like when we do the wine episodes, when we get Denise in here to do the wine episodes, I love having Denise here. One, she's much more literate than that monkey on the other end of the table.
She's also easier on the eyes.
Yeah. But
how did he marry her? How did you do that?
He lied. Hey. but her palate and my palate in wine seem to always be in sync. Like if I'm going, I taste this, no one at the table will get it, but she'll get it. You know, it's so your palate is different. Everybody's palate is different. So that's why it's important to have a show like ours where you have four or five people going around the room because there are certain things people pick up. You got two people here picking up the vegetal thing and it's knocking them over. You got two people over here not picking up at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, I'm
have
searching.
Have you eaten a vegetable,
that.
Bob? You don't look like you eat vegetables.
No.
Have you seen that body type of his?
No.
Does he look like he's ever eaten a vegetable?
It's a shape. Pear is a shape. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I mean, to me, the nose was
fruit,
just,
not a vegetable.
It was all just, you know, it was
back
very,
me up
very
on
sweet.
This arm.
It
pears was, are fruit.
Yeah.
Pears are fruit, and yeah. so is a tomato, literally. So,
yeah. Very, very sweet on the nose, which for a rye, just like, what? It didn't register. It this doesn't smell like rye.
No.
Mm. And then on the palate, that tannic edge to it that popped out is usually something I would get on something that had actually been aged a little too long.
Yeah.
But usually if you can taste through that tannic, that old wood, you know, then there's, you know, you can taste the old whiskey behind it, something that's come to that point. So I don't know why the tannic level is so high. Adding the water to it, it didn't make it go away, but it took that edge off to where it wasn't nearly as biting. So this one definitely needs water. It is softened up a bit with air, but it doesn't taste like a rye to me.
It leaves me confused.
Right. Yeah. It leaves me
confused. Not confused and angry, just
no.
confused.
No, just confused.
Confused and angry is different.
Confused and angry is your daily
default. That's, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's his nickname.
But now I've got whiskey in me, so I'm no angry.
Yeah, so.
I'm a very happy drunk.
Yeah, sure.
No reason to be angry.
Sure, he's a happy drunk. Okay. Yeah. How many times have you had to pick? Never mind. We won't even go there. So we're going to be rating the Uncle Nearest Straight Rye Whiskey Two Sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
So that's going to take us to our next one from Uncle Nearest. We're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This is the Uncle Nearest Uncut Unfiltered Rye, 59.8% ABV or 119.6 proof, 100% rye.
Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here, huh?
Oh, for sure, yeah. This inaugural distillery-only release was made in British Columbia and was aged in New York for a minimum of 4 years before moving down to Tennessee. On the nose, I'm getting like
that's where it went wrong. It went to New York. Stay out of New York.
Stay out of New York. Yeah. On the color of this one, you get that getting more towards that 70s copper penny kind of looking. On the nose, again, I got honey, vanilla. I did not, there's nothing in the nose said rye to me. Not one thing said rye to me. But on the palate, right away, I get some pipe tobacco, some baking spice. A little bit of honey. I get those tannins come through. What you really need to do with this one, again, is you need to add some water or a cube, ice cube to it. It really helps the entire complexity of this. But overall, the finish was kind of off-putting to me a little bit on the side of my mouth, where just on the side instead of my entire palate. And the tannins kind of overtook it a little bit as well. So
the funny thing is this is the uncut rye.
Yeah.
And for me, the tannins were lower on this than they were on the first one.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, they're still high.
Right.
And again, I'm a person who kind of likes an older woody whiskey, especially, you know, when like an older woody bourbon. I kind of get in that mood and I kind of enjoy it. But usually with that additional wood, you get, you know, you know behind that is, you know, a 17-18
here I am trying
old.
To make older woody jokes,
you know,
like,
you
know,
yeah, right.
Nothing PG-13 here.
Yeah, no, it's
the moment the world has waited for,
exactly. So you know, it's you're getting that up front, but then you're just, you know, you're getting a much younger whiskey behind, which again confuses me. it's yeah. It's, I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
You see, you said this didn't remind you of rye. This one, I thought
no was, on the nose. On the nose, it did not remind me.
Not on the nose
yeah. at all.
See, no. I got
on the nose, not at all. But on the palate,
you
I did
said
get
vanilla,
the,
yeah. and I got the vanilla on the nose. But I get a little bit of white flour, which sometimes I associate with like white flowers, which I sometimes associate with rye. But that damn tomato leaf keeps coming back again. It's there. It's not as prominent as with the one with at the 50% ABV one, but it's still there.
Oh my!
And the palate is—it's very green. Yeah, green wood chocolate. Not very pleasing to me.
Yeah, I'm still not getting that vegetable thing.
It's not either. Oh,
yeah. Well, you must have had too many vegetables last night, because this thing is a vegetable bomb. Yeah. It's young. It's not complex. It's not interesting. It might improve
with
age.
Sounds like Maury's resume.
It might improve with age, but gosh, I'm so disappointed. On paper, this sounded great. Uncut, unfiltered, barrel strength, 120 proof, 100% rye. I mean, how do you take something coming out of Alberta and
this is from British Columbia? This is British Columbia. It's a different, this is not Alberta Rye Company. This is somebody else is producing it.
It's not you, it's me.
It's coming out of Canada. It should be amazing. And honestly, it's either in its introverted, closed stage and waiting to open up and emerge, or I don't know. But honestly, I had high expectations.
It's that taking it to New York thing. That's what they did.
Yeah, I had high expectations.
Last time I went to New York, I got bed bugs for crying out loud. So yeah, I'd stay out of New York.
Well, that's just because you brought them from home with you.
I wish it was that easy.
Well, what are we going to rate this one, Bob?
Well, we're going to be rating the Uncle Nearest Uncut Unfiltered Rye 2 sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
So we're going to go to Maury for our next one.
Why, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Uncle Nearest Single Barrel Whiskey, barrel number 8 at 59% ABV or 118 proof. Each barrel for this release, is distilled, aged, and bottled in Middle Tennessee. Again, it's got a beautiful burnished copper color on the nose, fairly similar to the others in that it does have a hint of vegetal, but it's definitely a little bit more approachable, and it's got some niceties that I think you can appreciate. Then this one has much better viscosity. It coats the palate a little bit nicer. It's got a little more complexity. It's got a little more age on it. And it's got a more of a medium finish. This is definitely more drinkable and approachable compared to the other two. I think it's pleasant. I think it's well made. I think with a little bit of air, perhaps a touch of water, it's a serviceable whiskey. What do you think, Brent?
So this one reminds me more of a rye than the first two that were ryes. Yeah. So it's, you know, the nose, I love this nose the best of all.
This is not a rye. This is just
it's an American whiskey.
No, this is an American whiskey.
Right, an American whiskey. I love that this one. I love the nose on it over above everything else that we had from them. I really love this. And then I got lots of pepper, baking spices, a bit of tobacco, hints of vanilla, and then I got that little funk to it, like that old, kind of like that old funk that you get from the older whiskeys. Just a little bit, not a lot, you know, and stuff, but still has that little bit of bitterness to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they're sourcing from or how they're getting because this is the third one with the bitterness. And like, how do they go from three different places and still get that same bitterness is what I don't understand of why I'm getting that, you know, that those tannins and that bitterness all from three different sources of their product. I don't know what's going on.
So many inappropriate jokes spring to mind, which I will censor myself.
I was just thinking something along the lines of Uncle Nearest tears add the bitterness to the whiskey.
Let's not go there.
All right. Well, we're going to rate the Uncle Nearest single barrel whiskey, barrel number 8, 3 sips.
Interesting. Yeah,
it was definitely better than the other two, too. I didn't even get a chance to talk about it, man.
That's okay. We don't care what you have to say.
Whatever.
All right, well, let's move on to our last one, which is the Uncle Nearest Single Barrel Rye, barrel number 1, 60.5% ABV, 121 proof, 100% rye. Made in Canada, aged in New York for a minimum of 4 years.
Again, New York. Why? Yeah.
And again,
it's probably something to do with the taxation.
I get a sweet nose on it, like a candied orange.
Exactly, that orange is like pops right out,
like a candied orange peel. A little bit of the pith. I get just a little bit of that bitterness on the nose. On the palate, brown sugar, maple, and then the finish just drops as soon as you swallow it. The finish is gone.
What'd this is think, closer Brent? To style yeah. rye I like.
Yeah, yeah. This, I mean, we had the on the nose. Yeah, that vanilla, the honey orange. I love that. Again, I must have a bad nose. This does not remind me of a rye.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, the palate, vanilla, honey, a little bit of slight tobacco.
It's all it's all front palate.
Yeah, and you just said it just finishes off the right off. So. Dies right off.
All right. Well, we're running out of time, so we're going to rate the Uncle Nearest single barrel rye, barrel number one, 3 sips.
Interesting.
So, anyway, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just still kind of puzzled as to why the first two didn't smell like rye.
Yeah, same thing. I'm as puzzled by that as well. Yeah, so.
The one that's actually not classified as rye smell more like rye.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. I kiss a lot of frogs today.
Yep. And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Always a pleasure to be in the damp, dark basement.
And thank you, Harm.
You know, well, I was here today. Thank you, I guess, Bob. I mean.
Well, for Sip, Set, and Smokes.
It's better to drink whiskey than not, right?
For Sip, Set, and Smokes, is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
Short day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.